and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God. Ooh. Christmas, I love it. And so it's kind of a neat time. So you're going to be invited, as I said, inside the brainstorming head of Jeff, okay? So, Siri, please call my wife, Debbie. No, I did not order chicken. Again, please call Debbie on her cell phone, okay? Yes, okay. You can hear me now? Yeah, we're not Verizon, yes. Yes, I hear you. You're on an earbud. And, hey, I just got out of an elders meeting, and the elders are going to be teaching in December. And we're going to be doing the Advent candles, and I've got the topic of joy. And I wanted to spring some ideas on you. You know, what do you mean? Yes, I'm getting a little excited. I get a little excited when I do that. Yes, and I'm making my way to the attic now because Matt said, maybe you'd like to do one of your monologues or something. You know, you've done those in the past. You know, you've been Simeon, the old man in the temple waiting for the promise of the Lord. You know, we've had the innkeeper from Bethlehem, Joseph. We've had him. And so, well, here's my idea. I'm thinking, like, if Joseph and Simeon were in the coffee shop in Bethlehem, and they're talking, and in comes Samuel, a shepherd from Bethlehem. And they're talking about their experiences coming to the grove, you know. And they shared about the birth of Christ and what it meant. So hang with me. I know what you're thinking. The topic is going to be on joy. Yes, I know, joy. Everybody wants some joy. What is joy? Well, for some people, it's watching a TV show, you know, that about somebody singing songs dressed up like a chicken or a bird or something. You know, you don't know who it is, and you're just glad. I would have to wear a disguise to watch it. But anyway, and some like that, some like the show, you know, Dancing with Stars. No, we don't want that. I think it'd be much better to Dancing with Chairs. I think that would be a great opening to do Dancing with Chairs. What do you think? I mean, that would fly. Or maybe, I know. Yes, my hands are beginning to move. Yes, what do you mean? All right, I'll stop. Okay, but what about, you know, what if we did something like, you know, Samuel the shepherd speaking at the Bethlehem Shepherd's Club, you know, and he would greet everybody. Oh, you little shepherds, I could get Gina and Pete's kids, and I could get Jensen and some of the other little boys, you know. Yeah, I could say, hello, my name is Samuel, I'm a shepherd. Bah! And all the kids could bah back to me. Would y'all do that? They might do that. I don't know. Yeah, that might be going a little too far. I could kick a water bottle. I did that. But you know what I want to do? Yes, I'm getting into the bag, the skits up in the attic, and we had all kinds of stuff. I'm reminded of Greg Maddox and some of the stuff we did, and hats, and no, that wouldn't be very shepherd-like. I know you got a long drive. It's 60 miles. You're a captive audience. Don't jump out on me, or I might have to take the vow of silence. I know how much you like the vow of silence. We're all word stop, and we never communicate anymore. And the vow of silence means you will get no more verbal communication out of me. I'm telling you, the vow of silence, it means no more communication. And we would stop. And so don't jump, please. I won't do that anymore. All right. But, you know, one of the things Matt said, he said, you know, you could leave off the beard. So, but you know, I've just got to make him at least think I'm going to be bearded, you know, because, you know, you spoof those you love. But, all right, I know, I understand. He's right. That thing does make my lip kind of itch a little bit. I've got robes, we've got all that. But anyway, what I'm thinking about really doing is the shepherd sharing what joy really is. And everything we'll talk about, Deb, will be out of Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. And I think I can just see the people maybe getting their Bibles and opening to Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It's something they'll be familiar with. And what I'm thinking about doing is like this. We begin the service with the end. And then we go backwards. And so, I guess right now it's like 60 days. Now, 30 days later, I've hammered out some of this stuff. And when you're driving home again, I've got another captive audience. Yes, let's see. Yes, I did get Asa the dog. Yes, he's happy he's been fed, all that. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, now can you listen to me? I mean, we're going to talk about what joy is. It's not just some happy, giddy feeling. Joy, and it's pretty neat because, you know, our small group, we're studying joy in the book of Philippians, and we probably will be for a year. But joy can coexist with doubt, fear, pain, questions. So we're not just talking about happiness. Happiness can be part of joy, and is. But happiness is conditional. Joy is something beyond. And when we have Christian joy, we have more than that. We have this incredible gift from God. And so what I kind of see me doing is sharing a shepherd's perspective. And I broke it down, believe it or not. What do you mean, do I write it? Yes, I know how to write. You know I hate to write because if I write it, then I feel like I'm faking it because I feel like I'm rehearsing. What do you mean? I know the beard. I know I wear a beard, but I know what Tristan did last week. Yes, I realize that last week I wore a beard and was being Joseph, and the first thing from the kids was, is that a fake beard? And I'm thinking, no, that's not fake. It's an authentic masquerade. And I think, it's just like placebos. I don't want generic placebos. I want name brand placebos to help me feel better. So my beards kind of do that. But no, yeah, I've wrote some notes. I broke it down into simple little phrases that we can get. And these phrases, these words, depending upon the translation, are all found in this passage about the shepherds. And it deals with joy. And I've broke it down, and I hope I've got it in order, because, you know, sometimes I don't do it quite in order. I'm the dot connector. Let's see. Wow. This is organized for Jeff. Yeah, what do you mean? Yes, I spent all the time to get the computer. Mac Mini. It's been a problem. But another story, right? Shepherds don't have Macs, do they? They may know a Mac, but they don't have Macs, okay. It's going to be two-word phrases that we'll share and talk about. And suddenly will be the first one. It's that defining moment of God connecting with us in a personal and living way. It's God getting our attention out on the hillside. The scripture says the shepherds were keeping watch over the fields. You see, it's this incredible moment, and suddenly is that moment where God, through His Spirit, through the testimony of somebody else, through the Word of God, connects with you, and you realize He's something more than what others have simply told you about. He's something more than what you have read about. He becomes a reality in your life. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's kind of really incredible because you think about it. This shepherd, this Jesus referred to himself as the good shepherd. said he knew his sheep. And he laid down his life for them. Folks, my name is Samuel. I'm really not that good of a shepherd. I forgot some. When the bears attacked, a lot of times I would run. And laying down my life for my sheep, I care about them. But I'm not sure if I care about them that much. So I'm just a shepherd. And so when this "and suddenly" happens in my life, I got to tell you, I really wasn't looking for it. I rarely was able to go to the temple. I couldn't meet all the purification standards. I'm a shepherd. And where was I when "and suddenly" happened? I was at work. Where is it that God seeks to connect with us? Let's get honest. It's anywhere and everywhere. But most of us spend a lot of time at work. And to think God doesn't seek to connect with us there, it's quite incredible. I can't believe it. But at work, he sought to connect with me. And out on that hillside, and suddenly, when I wasn't expecting it, I wasn't looking for him, he found me. It's pretty incredible. He found me, a shepherd that wasn't that good, a shepherd that had forgotten. He came to me, and suddenly, there's this incredible thing. And it won't happen the same for all of us, I assure you. There may never be an angel in your life. But there's that defining moment where God connects. And you know. For me as a shepherd. And suddenly there was these angels. And the scripture said, and it was helpful for them to say, "Fear not," but I'm telling you, they were a little late. It's like jumping into water and swimming up to the top and saying, "Breathe not." That's, "You can't stop me, I'm going to breathe." Fear not. When an angel suddenly appears and there's light, everything within me is shaking down to my toenails. I'm scared. Yeah, Deb, I know. Hang with me. I'm scared to death. But the incredible thing, when I wasn't seeking it, when I wasn't expecting it, the creator of this universe found me. Me. And listen to what she said. Listen to what this angel said. "Fear not, for I bring you great tidings of joy, which will be for all people." I can't believe it. It was too good to be true. We've all been excluded from things, right? Not tall enough, not talented enough, not smart enough. Left on the outside looking in. Not included in any way. But do you hear what the angel said? "I bring you" what kind of tidings of great news? Great! I love that. I mean, ooh. Now, if I were to jump back in our day, that would be like cornflakes, right? Sugar frosted cornflakes. Now we're back to Samuel. Okay. I'm not schizophrenic, so don't think that, all right? At least I don't think so. Okay. Some do. Okay. All right. That's all right. Now, back. Yes, I'm doing my hands, Dave. Okay. You're with me. Great news. Which will be for what kind of people? All people. If you're like me, you've been left out at times. But the good news is for all people. But really, where it gets even better than that. And suddenly the angel says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who's Christ the Lord." I'm thinking, Maybe he means the other shepherds. Maybe he means, you know, the good ones or the pretty good ones, but surely not me. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. There's this moment when God connects with us in an undeniable way. And he becomes a reality in our life. And it's almost strange because if you're on the outside looking in, you think, man, this sounds crazy. But there's a connection where God is who he claims to be. Such a moment happened now. And suddenly, now the next ingredient, if I can find them, yeah, hang with me. Yes, I know you're driving. You're almost getting near Nashville. That was pretty quick, I think. But the next phrase we want to deal with is making haste. And you can't, the prerequisite, there has to be an "and suddenly." You can't make haste without the "and suddenly." You see, when God speaks and connects with us, it calls for a response. And we might call that making haste faith or believing. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not works, lest any man should boast. Faith becomes that connector. The promise has been made. So what is making haste? We heard this incredible news. We saw the angels out on the hillside, and they sung. And then we began to talk amongst one another. Let us go and see this thing that the Lord has done. Let us go and see. The scripture said that they made haste. What is making haste? It's four cups of quick hurry up. It's a quart of "hey, slowpoke, get out of the way right now." It's the Allman Brothers, we ain't wasting time no more. What is making haste? It is when everything else can wait. God has spoken, and you've not made haste. It's because you've never reached that point where everything else can wait, and it becomes a priority. I tell you, couples who are looking for joy and hope in marriages, there has to be a make haste moment. Where everything else can wait. And the revelation of God through his word and through the power of the Holy Spirit becomes a priority. Few things in life change until we make haste. Basically nothing. When we had the revelation from God, the sheep could wait, tomorrow could wait, it became a priority. And I'll say to you, when God speaks, there comes this question: have you made haste? We like to live in this world that we think, well, I've not decided yet. But no decision is a decision. See, when we choose to put it off, if we are content to live without God's perfect will in our life, then guess what? We just keep on doing what we are doing. But when we reach that point and the connection with the living God, and we get beyond that fear moment, because I think that's the first response, isn't it? Because really, shepherds are no different from you guys. We really don't want change, do we? We kind of like our life just the way it is. When none of us are perfected and none of us are totally made in the image of God, we've got a long way to go, right? But making haste becomes a priority in our life. We believe that God loves us and what He's wanting for us is good news and it's for our benefit. Now the shepherds, I love the sign. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Man. How many of us are looking for some incredible sign, aren't we? And we overlook the simple things of God. You say making haste, that's pretty simple, Jeff. I'm not that complex of a person, okay? I think too often the church ignores the simple things of God. Love one another. Forgive one another. Help one another. Share with one another. Encourage one another. We want some complex thing. Zacchaeus, when he's up a tree, Jesus looks at him and says, Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down out of the tree. For us, the sign was going to be a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Wow. So we went to see this thing that the Lord has done. Now, our next little phrase let's make some known. I can't cook many things. I had knee replacement last year. I've been off from work for a year, and I think I'm hanging up my those type of working shoes anyway. I'm learning to fry eggs. I can cook some things, not very good. What is making known? The first aspect of making known, it's not sharing what you don't know. Duh. Yeah. He said, tell us something we didn't know. No, making known is what God has revealed to you. Making known is who He is to you. Making known, if He's revealing a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, that's all you can reveal. If you're a blind man and He puts mud on your eyes and He goes and He spits and He makes mud and He puts them on your eyes and says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And then you see, all you can share is that what you have experienced and you know to be true. I think we head into a new year thinking, what is it that God wants me to do? Make known! It sounds a little ridiculous, I know, but make known. How did I find out about Jesus Christ? Someone made known to me through Sunday school, through loving me, through mama's cookies and lemonade, and through smiling faces. Make known what God has done. Look for opportunities. We head into a new year and I think, boy, what do we need to do? What do I need to do?
makes known. I don't have to make up known. I make known who He is and what He is. Wow. Now, we arrived there when we saw that. We saw that what God had revealed was true. And so we made known where we went. I gotta tell you one thing that we didn't get in the two-word line. If you're looking for joy, it cannot be separated from gratitude and thanksgiving. Just being thankful. When we were making our way to Bethlehem, we were thankful for who God was, for what He was doing, and what He might someday do through this babe lying in a manger. If you can't be thankful and grateful right where you're at, then you'll probably never know the joy of Jesus Christ. As a shepherd, if he never did anything more than that revelation and the reality in my life, that would have been enough to praise Him forever. But he doesn't stop there, does he? No. I'm going to begin to try to tie this up, and now we're moving to the difficult things in the message, okay? We're getting into the three-word spelling bee. Could I get a definition and hear it in a sentence, right? No. This is where I try to connect the dots. Ask my papa. As a parent, you have all these incredible experiences with your children that are valuable. But I gotta say, as a grandparent, that adjective nails it. Grand. There's this incredible moment that's more valuable to me than a set of snap-on sockets or a pneumatic air tool or even a diamond or a ruby. I don't think I'd do anything with that. But just there's this event that happened with me and Riley. She's about 4 years old. We're at Travis Price Park. Anybody there last night going through? The little tunnel of lights as you go in on the left. There's a slide up there that's a big pipe slide that you go down. She's about 4 or 5 years old, and we're over there, and she's coming down that slide up and down. And there are three little boys. They're about 8 or 10, and she's in there hanging with them and sliding. And they come down, and they're standing on this little platform. A little boy, Riley, comes down, comes over and stands right beside him. And one little boy looks over at her and he says, "She's not very big." He didn't mean nothing by it at all. I'm telling you, Riley stands straight up, all 3 feet, and says, "I am big. Ask my papa." You can pull out your concordance. You won't find "ask my papa" in Scripture. But you will find in Philippians 1:6, Paul says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in me is faithful to complete it." Ask my papa. In Romans, he puts it like this: "Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." Ask my papa. In 2 Timothy, he says, "For I know who I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." Ask my papa. Lamentations 3, 21. Because of the Lord's great mercies, we are not consumed. Great is your faithfulness. It's new every morning. Ask my papa. When life or circumstances say to you, you're small, what you have to offer is of little value, and you are insignificant. And it will happen. Life, people, or circumstances sometimes make us feel that way, don't they? Who do you point to? What do you point to? If you've had an end suddenly, and you've made haste, and are making known, then you point to the Scripture who represents the living God. That's your papa. Joy. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God. Now here's where we go full circle. Deb, this is where I take them, okay? Yes, I'm getting hoppy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a who is Christ the Lord. God, we thank you for that gift, for eternal joy. We thank you for how incredible you are, Lord. When we leave here today, we want to be celebratory. Lord, connect to those who need to make haste, to those who need to make known. Lord, empower them to do so. To those who've never had that connection, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you to connect and speak in a mighty way. So, Lord Jesus, we say thank you and praise to you today. And then, Deb, I think I'd have them just take a moment and think. And I guess we'd just say Merry Christmas. We love you. God bless you.